So rerun. So it's all good, man. Yeah.
So informal as fuck, dude. So no worries on that. That's what we kind of do, those reruns. But going back to everything we're saying, Grunt Talks, all about active duty veterans, whether you serve frontline or not. This is a platform to be able to tell your story. Definitely wanted to give you guys a platform for that reason. So I'll start again. First name, last name.
Sure.
What branch you serve?
Yeah, so my name's Ian Benisti. I'm from the suburbs of Los Angeles. So I call it Los Angeles for the sake of people outside of California. and I'm a U.S. Marine. I'm currently an aviator. Didn't join that wave, but I enlisted back in 2010 and commissioned in 2017 in February.
Oh, nice. So you started, for people listening who are not too familiar with the military, you started enlisted first and then commissioned?
Yeah. It could give you a quick down and dirty of that timeline, just makes it quick. Yeah, so I mean, luckily I get asked a lot because people want to know the path that I took, because unbeknownst to me before I came an aviator, a lot of people actually, since they're kids, want to fly.
Yeah.
I was not that person. So I enlisted in 2010. I wanted to originally join LAPD. In LA, you had to be 21 in order, or 20 and a half in order to go through the academy. Because 21 is when you could legally own or carry a firearm. When I talked to my mentors in the police department, they're like, yeah, you got time to sit around, so in order to make yourself competitive, you either go to college or you join the military. And my best friend at the time, he had enlisted in the beginning of the spring semester of our final year of high school. And yeah, he was my best friend. He started talking about it, and I just heard this from my mentor. So I was like, what's your recruiter's name? Let me talk to him. And literally 2 days after, I didn't ask any questions. I didn't know what was going on. Literally just signed up. He's like, this is what your job is going to be, and this is what you're going to do. And I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's do it. So yeah, I enlisted originally as a 06,000 Comrade. I don't even remember the MOS number name. As a Comrade, I originally enlisted as that. But the boot camp date was later, and I wanted to leave soon. So my best friend had a job at the time, was MOS was 2311. That's what I ended up becoming, as an ammunition technician. For a lot of people who don't know, it's essentially logistics in relation to that ammunition. So I was able to leave a week after I graduated high school, and then my best friend took my job at that I originally selected, and my boot camp date. Went through that, finished boot camp, Marine combat training, MOS school. And then I originally actually enlisted as a reservist because I did want to go to college ASAP. 2012, we got activated for, I think it was like a year and some change. And so that kind of put a dent in my college plans at the time. But when I got back, I decided to go to community college, did a year and a half of community college, transferred to San Diego State, still did the reserves the whole time after the activation. And then originally I wanted to go to physical therapy school following that, but it wasn't my passion, and I thought, some things in my life kind of happened personally that kind of steered me back towards the military, and I decided, okay, if I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna go back as an officer. Originally was gonna go Army. I wanted to do tanks because tanks fucking Army and tanks belong in the Army. That's why the Marine Corps has now actually gotten rid of tanks. I'm sure a lot of your tanker buddies who are Marines probably listen to this, but I hate this because they're out.
My brother-in-law was in the reserve before, and I didn't know this, that he was part of tanking, and he went not too long ago to actually a reunion. It was like their final goodbye. And buddy, when I work at 24, he was actually one of my personal trainers, one of my employees. He's like, oh, I'm gonna be gone this week. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I gotta go. And literally, I know, such a small community. Yeah. They're both part of this unit.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I don't know, I'm sure you're a firm believer. You were talking before, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, if you just have positive attitudes, like, stuff happens. I was literally going to go, again, I know this is an aside, but as an officer, as a ground contract, you pretty much do MCT on steroids, so 6 months of MCT at the basic school. And based off your performance and what's available, you choose your ground job. You make a wish list of like the 20-something jobs, right? Tanks, there's only two spots usually per class, so it's very competitive. But imagine if I had stayed a ground contract and went through that, worked my ass off to become a tanker just to get kicked out of the Marine Corps a year later. So anyway,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Originally I was going to go to the Army to do tanks, but the Army requires as an officer to, this is at the time, someone probably quote me if I'm wrong, you have to complete college before you start the process. And I was like, dude, I want to get out of college and know what the fuck I'm doing. So in the middle of my junior year, I went to the Marine Officer Selection Officer out here at San Diego State, and they signed me up as a ground contract. And then long story short, I had thought I was going to be a ground contract. I was thought I was going to go to TBS, fight for my job, fight to be a tanker. My recruiter one day, our officer selection officer, she won't be named, and I don't think she'll ever remember this, but she had told me, you know, we have a lot of aviation slots, pilot slots. If you take the test and you pass and you take your aviation contract to TBS and you drop your air contract for, or your ground contract, or sorry, your air contract for a ground contract, they'll give you any ground job you want because people want the air contract. So me, just some fucking idiot who doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, I'll take the test. So I literally took the test like that weekend, didn't study, didn't know what was going on, passed it. I went to TBS with the ground contract, or with the, excuse me, the air contract. Thought the whole time, like, I'm just going to sandbag it because I'm going to just turn in my air contract for a ground contract and they're going to give me tanks. And then you find out that, you know, just like everybody who, after they enlist, they find out the truth. Like, yes, man, that's not what fucking happens. You drop your air contract, you're just like everybody else. And you've been sandbagging it, being a bag of ass, you're probably going to be at the bottom and not get what you want. So, kept the air contract also at the time. I thought it was, you know, quality of life was huge, is huge for me. That's carried me throughout the Marine Corps, why I still have a good taste in my mouth. And so, yeah, I decided to keep it. Did the flight school thing for a year and a half, year and 9 months, which is short. I fly C-130s, so. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so you know how great of a plane it is. Yeah, so we flew, so C-130s is actually one of the shortest pipelines, and actually I didn't have a lot of wait time. So yeah, year and 9 months, and then I've been, then I went to the fleet replacement squadron or detachment, which is where you learn to actually fly the C-130 for 6 months. And I've been here at Station Miramar since April. So that's the long timeline. Obviously, there's details. You have details.
Of course. Of course.
Seems like a year in the Marine Corps or the military in general is like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all in all, you've been in total, you said 10 years, right?
Yeah. 10 years active and reserve time total June 12th or 17th, I don't remember, 2010. So.
And it's a common question I always ask, whether it be, I meet somebody at 24,
yeah,
who's signing up for a membership, or I'm just shooting the shit with them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, at this point,
I have a high three,
so, you know, they now, I don't know if you're familiar, they have the blended now, which is, like, based off the 401k, so it's really an option for guys who get out before they're 20 for them to have money when they get out,
yeah,
right? Anything that the government, in my opinion, and again, this is solely my Ian Benicio's opinion, comes out with later is always worse for you, so, you know, it's normal, do the 20 years, you get paid for the rest of your life. Now they have the option where, no, you invest in the stock market, you know, all these funds, and then you'll get what you get out of. So yeah, A, I'm going to stay in because, yes, the halfway, B, the benefits, and C, like 20 years in a span of life is not a lot. And
dude,
I
do this
for
a try not
to stop. Okay, yeah, sorry. I'm a very, like, kinetic talker.
Yeah,
so
it's all good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah,
good, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, after a while, I'll pick it up, and then it's going to be calm later.
No worries.
But okay, that's cool. Definitely from my background, so the difference, or I was in Army, I was in infantry, same thing. 17 when I signed up. I didn't give a fuck. I was like, dude, what's the easiest way? I actually tried the Marines.
Okay.
I wasn't going to go Marines because everybody in my family is Marines.
Yeah, yeah, the hand tats before, that's why I was like.
I didn't have one.
Oh, okay.
That's supposed to, not yet.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. That's Marine Corps. You could be the greatest Marine ever, but if you got a tattoo in the wrong spot, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went there, and at the time I had about 4 tattoos. I had one right here, which I could cover, one on my arm, and then my mother's name. It's on my neck, technically, but it covers the shirt. Like, even
okay,
if I wore a t-shirt, you can't see it. This is around 2009 going to 2010. So I went there, talked to them. I was like, all right, cool, you're passing everything. Can you cover this? All right, cool, taking pictures, blah, blah, blah. He takes a picture of this one. It's kind of old English, right?
Okay.
So he takes a picture. It kind of does.
Okay.
But not really. He took a picture. He's like, let me send it up to my higher ups. Let me see what they say.
Yeah.
Took it. Not even a minute. Just can't do it. He's like, hey, man. Yeah, I just can't do it. I was like, oh. So does that mean, like, I have to cover it more? What do I do? No, just, hey, thank you. But
isn't that wild, though?
It's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
And then now you see some of the standards, how some people are just covered now. But I tried all the other ones. Weren't working out for me. And I happened to see the Army one. I just walked in. I thought it was just another door in there.
Was it next door? They talk shit.
Yeah.
That's how they usually are.
That's
they always joke, like, the Marines stayed till like 1800 and
the
Army's out by like 1400.
The funniest thing, though, is when I went to the Air Force one, I'll never forget the Air Force one, because I would go there and I'd knock. Keep knocking. I'm like, all right, 15 minutes. But I'll just come back.
Yeah.
There's a subway there. Come
yeah.
back. Nothing. I tried there for 3 days straight. That dude was
yeah.
never there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably at the golf course.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
More likely. So,
yep.
Went to the Army recruiter station, signed up, took me out. Going through my basic, from people who are in now, they tell me it's like so different. When you went, how different was it from being enlisted to going back as a commissioned officer?
Yeah, I mean, like you know, times change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even kids going through boot camp now versus what I did. I mean, yeah, I could even say 2010 was, you know, for both of us was wild or crazy. But you talk to, imagine pre-war or like Vietnam, or imagine being like the guys, you know, the men that went through boot camp in a bridge boot camp during the Korean War, and they send you straight from boot camp
to war.
Right to Korea. No, not even boots on your feet, you know? So like we can sit here and say it's stuff, whatever. I will say that, it gets a little bit more politically correct, a little bit more easier as time goes on. I feel like you see the difference in the generation, but also, you know, people are getting smarter. They're getting more aware, socially aware. So there are those changes. But 2010 boot camp versus 2016, I guess, OCS or 17. Boot camp is a lot more mental. OCS is way more physical.
Just staying in there. I'm like, fuck it, let's just stay that way. But other than that,
yeah,
just being a grunt for 20 years, probably couldn't do it.
No, and that's, I don't know anybody who can. Aldi, you know, was with an artillery unit. Our first sergeant was a grunt. Right now, our sergeant major is a grunt in the air wing. It's like, unless you get a job that is other than the infantry, like, I don't know how guys do it. Even as officers, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's not for me. I will tell you right off the bat, it's just not for me.
And it's all new. Like, I always tell people, I always get that common question, like, oh, I don't want to go to war. Okay, we're talking now, war.
Yeah.
Protecting art. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't have to. I was like, but it depends what you want to do. Use any branch. I don't care what branch you go to. Use it for your advantage. If you always want to be a cook, dude, go be a cook in the military. Afterwards, you can get such a great stuff. If you always want to fly planes, go do it. If you want to jump out of planes, go do it.
Yeah.
I'd jump out of a perfect fucking airplane.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
I was kind of voluntold at that
point. Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, you have the highest PT score. Do you want to go to airborne school? What's Air Force school? So
yeah.
I'll go on that topic.
Yeah.
Seriously. Going to the military, what did you know about the military?
Were you
Cherry Spock didn't know shit about the military, or you knew something like, oh, I know chain of command, stuff like that?
Hell no. The only thing I knew was from the military, so I did Navy RTC for a semester in ninth grade in high school. This was before I even thought of joining. I don't know. I think I did it because I don't remember why. Honestly, I can't. So whatever I gained from there, that was Navy. Other than that, just a typical Call of Duty playing video games and whatever you hear. The only other like big, not big person, but like known person in my life that I'd known had joined the military was this guy Willie when I was a kid. He was a Marine, and yeah, that was really it. I just remember him. He was an infantry Marine back in, you know, early 2000s, and you know, he came back and he lost his leg actually in a motorcycle accident. I just remember him talking like, yeah, I can't go back, blah blah blah. So. Yeah, he's really the only guy. Oh, I guess also other than that, so my dad's whole side of the family, they're from Israel. And so every man and every woman goes to the military there. So I know about more when I was a kid in the military over there, but no details. So not a lot.
Yeah, I was the same way. Same way, had no idea of what's going on, like about contracts, about anything. So a lot of people were listening who maybe aren't in the military or who are like right in that phase of maybe gonna go commission like yourself or thinking about leaving. I went in, cherished, but didn't know shit about it. Like, hey, when can I leave? This is the date? Cool. Do you want to leave like in 2 months after you graduate? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I remember a reality check for me was when I was in our S1 kind of stuff for briefing. Like, hey, let's go, we're gonna do your bonus paperwork, stuff like that, and you'll be good to go. Everybody got a text except for me. So they're all kind of chewing my ass out and stuff like, we're not supposed to fuck, bro. You're supposed to fucking be here at 9:30. I was like, I didn't get a text. And then look, he's like, did you get a bonus? I'm like, let me call a recruiter. I remember calling my recruiter, like, hey, I didn't get a bonus, right? And he's like, no. I was like,
oh,
all right. That answered that. I was like, yeah, no, I didn't get a bonus. Oh, I fucking sucks. All right, cool, man.
Yeah.
So those are things that are people listening, if you do want to go in there. So is that different when you commission? Like, do you get options like that again?
I wouldn't say that there's bonuses, really. I mean, there's also different areas that people can commission from. So you can go, like, a regular route, go to college and commission, or you can go to the Naval Academy and straight in commission. So there's those sorts of things. I don't have any real bonuses, to be honest. But I will say, like, if you want to, in the Marines specifically, because you have the ground and air contract, like, times will come where there's not, there's less ground contracts or less air contracts and more, and you know, the OSA is just like recruiters, unless the recruiters, they have things that they have deadlines to meet. So you might get pressured into, well, if you want it, you gotta get it now, but don't be forced into, if you wanna fly and there's not, no aviation contracts, stick around and wait till there's an aviation contract. It'll always come around. Everything in the military goes like this, you know? It's like the hurry up and wait, like, oh, we don't have enough of this, so that. Everyone needs to do this. And then we're like, oh, we have too many of this. Cut it off. It's literally like, that is exactly how the military works.
I love that saying, hurry up and wait. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And I need to hurry up here, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Roger that.
I mean, but like your experience with the even enlisting, like, I didn't think about it until after, but I should ask if there's bonuses. I should ask specifically what the job is. You need to ask people. No, but you can. I mean, you were so pressured to sign up early and as soon as possible and not bring other players into it. You know, like bring your parents. Like, why do you need your parents? Aren't you a man? Like, the more you get from other people, you come to find, like, damn, what the fuck? Like MESAB, I don't know if the Army has something similar where if you enlist in the military, you can put in a package to go to college while you're active duty. You get your time of grade, time of service. You can still get promoted, but you get paid to go to college.
Yes, you do.
For 4 years, you get your BH. Like, you don't hear about that kind of crap until someone tells you randomly. Like, there's, even as an officer, there's so many things about your career that you don't even know until you either hear by chance or you just ask. And it's easy to take a 17 or 18 year old kid who knows nothing, who really knows how to wipe his ass. You know, like, people talk about teaching your kids how to do taxes and X, Y, Z. You teach your kids how to ask questions and like not say yes to everything. Like, it's crazy.
It's so true that going back to how you went in and everything, like you brought up parents and everything. I can tell you from firsthand, just from talking to people, signing up people, that like, yeah, I just went in myself. I didn't bring any money. Or my brother-in-law who's a Marine, it's like, oh, I forged it.
Yeah. They'll let you do it, bro.
They don't care.
You know, but I'm sure for you, like, glad you fucking did it. Because you know how many people who, like, if they think too much, whatever, they talk themselves out of it. And it sucks, but.
That's one of them right there.
Yeah. I mean, you should have forged your signature. You should be just, happy birthday. We need a contract. No, I totally get it. It's wild, but you know, I think it's how you see life. If you're able to adapt in the military, like, you're going to succeed no matter what.
What was the hardest part for you? Right. When you went into basic as enlisted and then switching to being an officer, was it like, since you had all that time already being enlisted and serving and you know the ranks and everything, Was a hard decision for you? Like, oh shoot, now maybe I wasn't leadership ready. Now I'm definitely in like a leadership role. I have to be that person to go to no matter what. Was it like a hard mental change for you?
No, I mean, I'll be honest. I think it's important to talk yourselves up sometimes, be real, but I'm not also just like blowing smoke. Like, I feel like I naturally have always been either put in a position of leadership or succeeded as enlisted. Almost all work jobs that I've worked outside the Marine Corps. I mean, I was president of my fraternity prior to it, so you know, I was in charge of budget. You know, being in front of 100 plus peers, not just people who had to follow me. Like, they had no choice. So, even you know, when it comes to fitness or anything like that. So, I wouldn't say it was a hard transition. It was just more of like, okay, now you're gonna freaking do it. And now you right off the bat, like, you're gonna go in there as a second lieutenant. Like, I'm sure your second lieutenant's like, dude, a corporal, a freaking, you know, a sergeant, corporal that has like years beyond experience of this officer they have to salute and whatever. So, you know, but if you're humble and you're willing to learn, like, that's what makes you successful, because you have to understand that guys, the enlisted guys, know more than you, have way more experience than you, and you're literally like a baby walking in there. If you walk in there like, oh shit, I'm the hot ass, you know, lieutenant or officer, like, you're gonna get your shit pushed in. So that there, I wouldn't say it wasn't hard for me. I'm not saying it's not hard. I wouldn't say that was the hard part.
I love that you say that, because it's so true. When we were enlisted, like, when we first, man, I don't know how it is in the Marines, being the infantry, you would get a new fucking lieutenant every 6 months or so, if you're lucky. The turnaround, super quick. So we'd get a new LT, and always a second lieutenant.
Yeah.
And it's always throwing jabs, right? I was like, this fucking charity lieutenant is no fucking shit.
Yeah.
We all have our deployment patches, we're all deployed, we all have more time, our boots, those jokes that we make.
Yeah.
For me, one thing I respected about a lot of good officers that I met, because we all have shitty officers as well, same thing as shitty enlisted people.
Yeah.
One thing I respected was them knowing. Like, the ones who came from the enlisted side first, those were probably the best leaders I've ever had. Because they know, okay, yes, I'm in leadership. A lot of people, when they go sometimes from college to straight leadership, it's hard for them to transition to be, oh shit, I'm a grunt in charge of men. Mm-hmm. But me, myself, I'm still in my mindset of like 25 years old.
Yep.
And a lot of the ones who transition the other way, like, eh, respond to this. Our captain said this, fuck that, we're gonna do this.
Right.
Because he knows.
Right.
Was that easy for you to make that little switch there?
Like which specifically, sorry, maybe?
The one, like, kind of that mindset, like, did you feel like yourself sometimes, like, you would, like, be those kind of new lieutenant coming into, like,
cockpit? So it's really hard on the aviation side, to be honest, just because you go straight from, it's controlled. Like, you're not really in a leadership role at OCS, you know, just like in boot camp, you have, like, squad leaders, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, drill sergeants have it. TBS, that's where you really, like, get into more combat role leaderships, where, you know, you're a platoon sergeant, you're a company commander, platoon commander, charge of, you know, creating defenses and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Still, it's a controlled environment. Flight school, you are not in charge of nobody. You literally go to school, learn how to fly, and get told where to be, what to study, whatever. Now that I'm in the fleet, even now, I work as the ground safety officer. So as an aviator, you fly, and then you have a ground job. Whoever wants to fly, know that as a Marine. It's not like the Air Force, like, they just freaking fly. They say they have a ground job, same for most of the Navy guys. They just fucking fly, don't fly. Under myself, I have one enlisted, or a couple enlisted in my office, and that's really it. I mean, every enlisted Marine in the squadron I have, you know, like my air crew, when I go fly, there's that. I think the only times is like when we are flying, like the aircraft commander, myself, as a co-pilot, and then the crew, you know, there's a rank structure there, but you know, it really comes down to making smart decisions, especially when we're out on the road or in another state or country, being able to make those decisions, what's common sense. So, long story short, I don't think that it's hard to kind of make those decisions, but exactly what you said, like, 25-year-old kid, he went to college, thought about himself, especially when you go to the academy, you're really thinking about yourself, in my opinion. You don't go through OCS, you don't go through like a boot camp. Go straight to TBS and you're throwing these leadership roles, it's hard. And your situational awareness is down versus like as a prior list of guys. Like, you've been there, you've done that, you can think about troop welfare a little bit quicker. Not to say there's not great, you know, academy officers, and not that there's not bad OCS officers, just I think the learning curve is a lot quicker for those who, like you said, I went through the list of droppers.
Go back to everything we were saying. I think a lot of people, what fascinates me in the military a lot of the times is not knowing that. How you said, going blind. A lot of people going blind and have this awful taste in their mouth for the military afterwards, and a lot of times don't really get to see the success that we have with it. How it can lead you to be a good person, to be successful afterwards, and then go on to do whatever you want, or make it a full career. I think the big thing that people don't realize is, just like anything else, we're going to college, I think a lot of people, hey, I want to go to this college. Why? Well, I like it because this, I know they have this here, I want to get to this. Same for the military.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing that people can take away from kind of our stories here and just your background already is really understanding that, hey, you don't have to go right away to active duty. You don't have to do A, B, and C, D first. Like when I went in, I had no idea about reserves. I had no idea about National Guard. I remember I met two people there. It's like, oh, I'm going home. I'm like, you're going home? So where are you going home?
Like, yeah.
No, I'm reserved. No, like, that's basic. And
yeah,
I go home. I was
like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, I got 3 more months of this son of a bitch right here. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. And this is why I wanted this platform. I think people just have sometimes, I mean, we're lucky, right? We got to serve in a time where people are, yay, military.
Yep.
Hell yeah, fuck yeah, military. We're back in the 60s or
yeah.
some of my uncles, some of my good friends I met later on in life served. You can tell effect of them. And I think the biggest thing that, especially times now, things are not situated as it is and everything, I think the biggest thing that people can accept from it, a common question I get, I don't know if you do, is why would you want to go to the military? So for me, quick, I want to go to the military because I just wanted to serve. I was big about, if I'm going to take everything from this country, I'm going to first give it to the country.
Respect that.
So that was why I really got in. And for me, what really got it too was seeing 9/11. I was in fourth grade when
yeah,
I
we're the same age. Wait, you're 28?
28.
Yeah, I'm turning 29 and 28.
Yeah, so same age.
Yeah.
So I saw it around that time, and that really got me. That really got me, and even though I tried on the Marines, the first Army commercial was Be All You Can Be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The slogan.
Yep.
Jumping out of airplanes.
Oh yeah.
So that's all I knew about the military. And that's what wanted me to go in. What made you want to go in? Like the main reason.
Like I told you before, I really didn't freaking know. I wanted to be a cop first. But why I wanted to be a cop was, again, I wanted to serve. I think like everybody has a mission or goal or deep down why of what they want to accomplish in life. And I think if you really find out what that is, you can attribute different jobs to allow you to do that. For example, I just want to be, you know, I want to be important, or I want to change people's lives, or I want to do X, Y, Z. There's so many different things you could do to do that. It's just what you pick. So like you, I felt like service, giving, and, you know, also something more masculine in that service was, you know, being a cop or the military or something like that. So that's really it. And again, it's hard at 18 to really have that why. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, guns are cool or whatever. I have plenty of friends who did that, wanted to kill terrorists and, you know, do all that whatever stuff. But yeah, didn't really have like a big why for the military. Like I said, it was a stepping stone to become a cop. So join the military, because I didn't even want to be a cop to begin with. A lot of bureaucracy and paperwork.
So. Your fondest memory so far in the military? Active now, compared to service, whatever.
I just think probably when I got my wings, not the actual ceremony itself, not even just the wings themselves, just like during that time, just taking a second to be like, I had no idea if you were to ask me a year ago or 2 years ago if this is what I was going to do, and I did it. Like, I'm a kinesiology major who cares about fitness, who loves, you know, being social, I don't know anything about planes or physics or none of that. Like, but I look back and I'm like, damn, I just went through all that. It's crazy what you can do, and I attribute that to the military. Like, you can take a guy like me, not very smart, to just do the program like well enough to get where it needs to be. And he's an aviator. He's for the finest military in the world. I'm not saying I'm the best pilot. I'm not. But I would say, you know, given time. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. So I think, and even another time, actually, the same thing was when I was at boot camp. I was on the rifle range. I remember, I will never forget this moment. I'm walking back after you have to do the stupid ass police call, picking up all the fucking rounds. I'm just walking back. I'm like, dude, I'm in boot camp right now. Like, I'm going to be a U.S. Marine. Like, that's big. So I think any time that I've just taken a second to look back at my accomplishments, there hasn't really been a time where this has been the most fun. Like, I have fun all the time. There's those good moments, but just reflecting on myself, by myself, those have been the greatest times ever. You know, I appreciate what I have and where I've been.
I love it, brother. Definitely going to be wanting to do another segment with you, right?
Yeah, whenever.
Whether it be listening to your podcast. So what I always like to do is tell people who are on here, use your platform, right? Definitely, where somewhere that people can find you, of course, man. I definitely appreciate your time, especially serving. You know, thank you so much for your service, still serving.
Yeah.
All the way, sir, is what we say in the Army. All the way, sir, airborne. Let everybody know, man. Let them know about your podcast, where they can find you, where they can hear you, everything else.
Well, first off, I think the number one, this might be for you, I don't know if you'll get comments after, but the biggest question I get from people is just like, what is the path to becoming an aviator? What was it like? First off, you know, we don't know each other very personally yet, but hopefully we do. But I'm one of the most candid, like, upfront people. I will not sugarcoat shit. I will tell you exactly how it is. Obviously, you know, I came off work, so I'm wearing this uniform, gotta be careful. So you'll probably get questions, hopefully you do, and I have no problem detailing from A to B of someone who, like, I was nothing in aviation to becoming an aviator. I can explain all the details of that. So if that comes up, let me know. But right now, like you mentioned, my podcast right now, it's just so I've been running a coaching business actually since I joined the military. Since now, I'm an amateur bodybuilder. I'm working now with a big name coach who's a former Olympian, looking to hopefully go pro at the end of this year. People can reach me via my Instagram, the Anabolic Poppy, or even by my personal email. So my personal email is my first and last name at myprecisionapp.com. MyPrecisionApp.com is actually the website to my coaching site. So reach me anyway. If anyone has questions, like, I love just talking with my podcast. It's not, you know, even my coaching, it's not even, yes, I make money off of it, but if I didn't make money, like, I don't care. Like, it's the money is just a way to keep people accountable. Mm-hmm. So, I always welcome this, especially, this was fun. This was super cool.
Of course, cool. Bro. Of course, man.
Yeah. Don't take little things, but talking.
Nah, dude. It is what it is. If you figure, like, you figure it out, man. I'm telling you, I didn't even know that this was an app thing. My girlfriend, you know, your friend, she's the one who, because of her podcast.
Yeah.
I've been always wanted to do a podcast for like a year. I didn't know how. And she's like, oh, it's simple. This, and this. Okay. Bam. And then so went off running.
But like I said, lovely to have that platform. Definitely you have friends, man, who served, who haven't served, who just need an area to vent. You know, this is the podcast I wanted for. It could be an hour long. It could be 10 minutes. I get that all the time. Like, dude, I don't talk. Bro, we didn't shoot the shit. Trust me, you'll fucking talk.
Yeah.
I get that all the time. I'm seeing all on there for fucking hours.
Yeah.
But just want to say thank you, man, so much for coming on the podcast, bro. It's been fun, man. Definitely have to have a part two on here. You can bring Paulina. It's all good.
Yeah.
See how it is to tell that perspective, because that's one interesting aspect that I want people to know as well. How is it either dating somebody who's in the military or even being connected, like married?
She don't know yet. She don't know what she's in for.
Dope. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you. So just let me know what you need.